And so we want to look at what God is doing. One of the things that God is doing through mothers. Amen. Because he has given fathers, but then he has also given mothers. And that sometimes mothers might feel less than appreciated or not as appreciated as much as the effort they might put out. Amen. Amen. Because it seems like the mother's job is never done. Amen. Amen. It's always something. It's always something. So we thank the Lord that we can honor God by honoring mothers all across the world. So we're going to look at a mother's call, the calling of a mother. It is a position. It is a calling. It's not just something that happens, even though the process is biological. Sometimes things weren't necessarily planned. Certain things wasn't necessarily thought out that way. But yet it is still a call, whether it is by design, personal design, or if it's just something that happened. So we need to see that God is behind everything, and God has a great call for mothers. Amen. And sometimes we look and we'll talk about the fathers and the way that the fathers are to stand up and what the word has to say about the job of the fathers. But I want us to look at the flip side about what a mother's call is. And hopefully we will see that there is a deep spiritual dimension to a mother's call. Amen. 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 If you'll turn to First Samuel, the first chapter. Amen. First Samuel, the first chapter. I had asked for, we usually have the children's church, but I had asked for everybody to be out because this is a message that mothers need to hear, fathers need to hear, and children need to hear. Amen. Amen. First Samuel chapter 1, 10 through 13. First Samuel 1. Do you have it? Please say amen when you do. Amen. Amen. Let us read this. 10 through 13. And then I want us to jump down to verse 22. All right. 10 through 13. And then we're going to jump down to verse 22. And then let us read it together. And it says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now let's go down to verse 22. "But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever." So I want to talk to you today and in the word of the Lord concerning a mother's call. Dear eternal God, our Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you first and foremost, Lord, that it is you that have given us life, health, and strength, oh God, that you have caused us to be able to move under our own power, oh God, Lord, that we may come into the house of the Lord, Lord, to bless your name and to give you the praise, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for all the mothers that are here, oh God, Lord. And we thank you for those that are standing in and aiding mothers, oh God. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Bless each and every one of us, Lord, and let us see wondrous things out of your law, oh God, that we may conduct our lives according to your word, Lord, by faith, and that we would be a glory in the earth unto your name. And so we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A mother's call. A mother's call. This is probably a familiar passage for many of us. It is the beginning. It is the story of of Samuel. And it's before Samuel, it enters in before Samuel is here. And to give you a little background about this, Samuel's mother, her name was Hannah, and she was married to Elkanah. And he was a man of God. He was a man that feared God. It says that he was faithful in going up year after year to give the sacrifices that was ordered and given by God through Moses. So he was faithful. He was a man. He was a priest of his home, and he had his wife Hannah, which he loved most. But then he also had another wife by the name of Peninnah, and she was able to have children, but Hannah wasn't. And so you have here, right here at this, where we pick it up, is that Hannah is burdened because she wants to have a child. She wants to be the carrier of her husband's child, but yet she has not been able to get pregnant. And so it says that the Lord shut up her womb. But even though it was the Lord's doing, it was the Lord's prerogative to do this, it says that she was in bitterness of soul and she prayed unto the Lord. Now there's a good thing, because if it was the Lord that shut up her womb, then she was at least going to the right person. Amen. It says that she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So it was an emotional thing for her. And so it says here that she vowed a vow unto the Lord. And she says that if you would give me a man child, I will give him to you all the days of his life. Now, I want us to see a few things here. I want us to see a few things here that we first have to see a mother's heart, because every action comes out of a something internal. Everything external comes from something that is internal. And so if we see, there's certain things that we recognize and we know about mothers that different mothers operate differently, but there are certain basic things that are kind of common with all mothers. So we need to see the mother's heart before we really go any further. The first thing is that God gives some desire to a motherhood so strong that it is difficult to live without a child. That we must realize that the desire to have a child and the desire for motherhood sometimes is so strong that some people, they cannot get past this desire. And so it says that also in 1 Samuel, it says that Elkanah, because he knew that his wife Hannah could not have children, that he kind of gave her more stuff to try to compensate. Say, but it was interesting that it says that Hannah was not even comforted in this, to the point where her husband was kind of frustrated and said, well, haven't I been better to you than a whole load of sons? And but what happened was her desire that was inside of her could not be placated by any substitute. Now, we must understand that there are certain things that God will place in our hearts, and certain things that we may not even know why is there, but it's there for a purpose, and it will not settle for any substitutes. The next thing is that there is a purpose in Hannah's desire. It wasn't just that she wanted it. She wanted it badly. She wanted it badly, but there was a purpose behind Hannah's desire. So now we need to understand that sometimes we all will have certain desires, but now we might not know why we have that desire. So then here's the thing. If we don't know why we have that desire, we then need to go to the source of the desire. And that's not really just within ourselves, but it is God. Because if God gives us a desire that will not be quenched by anything else, we need to understand then, God, why then did you give me this desire? Why have you given me this obsession? Hello. Because sometimes a desire can be so strong that if it is unmet, it will become an obsession where she went to the temple. She went home. Every time she looked around, she couldn't do anything but desire what she really wanted, but did not have at the moment. Here's the thing. If we are to look at our desire and where the purpose of the desire comes from, we need to understand that God has a purpose. And so here's the thing. If God had a purpose, God needed a Samuel to carry out his will for Israel. You must understand that a mother's call is bigger than the mother herself. Hello, let me say that again. Let me say that again. A mother's call, what a mother is called to do, is bigger than the mother herself. Her desire, her deep desire to have a child wasn't just because she wanted to have some little pookie pook. Hello, ooh, this is my little pook. It was more than just that. It was more than just, I need to have somebody to love, because she had a husband that was giving her everything. But yet that was not satisfactory to her. She had something deep down. And when she went to God asking for a child, but not really understanding that her desire was tied to an eternal purpose. God needed a Samuel to carry out his will for Israel. Now, think about this. Could you have imagined being Hannah? At this time, having this great desire that nothing could quench, but not then knowing that the desire is tied to a whole nation. Hello, somebody. Her promise was interesting to me. See, she made a promise to the Lord for the gift. Sometimes we'll do that. When we really want something bad enough, we'll start making all kind of promises to God. Hello. Sometimes we don't necessarily keep all of them. Hello. I'm talking about not now. I'm not talking about the promises you got now. I'm talking about, let's think back in our lives. God, if you get me out of this one, I'll do X, Y, and Z. And as soon as we got out, we did A, B, and C. Hello. Hello. but the desire in her heart was such that she made a promise for the gift. She made the promise, but she wanted the gift. She made the promise for the gift. Now watch this. She promised to give him back to the Lord all the days of his life. Now that's a heavy promise. Think about that. She wanted a child. And she said, God, I'm so burdened down over this. I really want this child. God, if you give me the child, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. So then what she's really, think about what she's praying and what she's vowing. This was a heavy vow. If her desire was so strong that she felt she could not live without a child, then she says, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back. She's really praying for something that she's not going to keep. I'm asking you to give me something that I won't be able to hold long. I'll be able to visit him. I'll be able to see him, but he won't be mine anymore. So now here is what I want us to see. When we have a desire, especially mothers, but I want to, this principle kind of goes in a bigger way. When we have a desire, and mothers especially, when you have a desire, you must understand from whence your desires are coming. Because when we first look on the surface of our desires, they may look like there's something else. But they're really tied to something eternal. Every one of our desires, whether we're saved or unsaved, every one of our desires somewhere deep down has a tie to something that God wants to do. The problem is we let our soul and our own mind jump in and we take the desire to mean something else. So then we take an eternal purpose and use it for a temporary fleshly fulfillment, which it really don't fulfill. So she promised to give Samuel back to the Lord all the days of her life. Now watch this. I want you to see that even her vow wasn't just a vow from her mouth and from her emotions. That is another thing. Thank you, Lord. Because it is commonly said, let me put it that way. Let me preface it that way. Because it is commonly said that women are emotional. That's why I say it's commonly said. So don't jump on me because I'm just quoting somebody else. Because it's said that women are emotional. Sometimes the temptation is to move according to the emotions at the moment. The desire is there. There's something that I feel that I need to do, so I will move on my emotions and I will make some vows or I make some decisions that are based on my emotions. But then we got to realize that emotions will quickly change. So now let's look at Hannah for real. Her emotions were involved, but I want us to see that the vow that she made and the promise that she made was not based on emotions alone. God was in the midst of moving her heart with her emotions, but did not allow her emotions to take over, because her emotions would have made the promise of giving him, but her emotions would have quickly, once she got the child, quickly grabbed him back. Hello. With the mother's call, with the call of the mother, there must be a balance of joy and pain. Hello. There must be a balance of joy and pain. The reason why I say that is this, because children are a joy, but then the pain doesn't come because the children don't always do what the mothers want them to do. But the pain is sometimes at some point we have to realize that everybody has to let go of their children to their own destiny. It's painful because, and I'm giving this from what I know from scripture and what I've seen. It is painful for a mother to let go because the heart of the mother primarily is about nurturing, taking care of. Don't want the child to face any type of pain, any type of ill, any type. Don't even want a cold to hit. Don't even want a sniffle to come. Hello. It's been numerous of times. Tired as I don't know what. In the bed and everything. And all of a sudden, Monica said, did you hear that? What? She would hear a faint sneeze in the room down the hall or a sniffle or something. You all right? Why? Because that nurturing character and instinct is there. I don't want any pain to come to my baby. Hello. Now watch this. But the balance comes in when the destiny of God has to sometimes pull a child from the safe place of the mother. Hello. Because now the father faces it, but in a different way. So I want to try to give a general, but I want to stick with the mother. It's harder sometimes for a mother to let go for the child to go into destiny because the mother has already felt a connection and a protection from the womb all the way to present. So now I want to show you that Hannah's promise was more than just her emotions, because what she said and what she had to do was more than what the human emotion could really just deal with without the grace of God. It was the grace of God that allowed her to make the promise, but then it was also the grace of God that let her carry out the promise that she had the child for a little while. And even before the child got into school, even before the child went to college, even before the child got married, that she gave up the child to God. The mother's heart. Look at this. The mother is the carrier of deliverance. Hello. Like I said before, we oftentimes dwell on the father and the responsibility of the father and the call and what God has for the father. But I don't think I haven't. I'll just put it this way. I haven't really seen or really even dwelt on. And I thank the Lord for this particular message. It is from God, because I never really thought about the mother's call in this way on this spiritual level, like it is, like we're going to see that the mother is the carrier of deliverance. Why is it that the mother is important? Not because that's my mama. There's a reason why folks will fight and kill a brick over their mama. They'll kill a brick dead. In the general sense, you better not say nothing bad about my mama. If I had no arms, I'd bite you. Hello. I may fuss, disagree, everything else. We may yell through the house, but if anybody say nothing bad about my mama, it's so bad that you better not even kid around and say, "Yo, mama, be ready to fight on the playground." Hello. Ain't even said nothing about your mama, just your mama. Oh, what you say? Hey, there's a reason why that feeling is there, because there's a call on the mother. And so the mother is the carrier of deliverance. Watch this. The mothers are more important than we really know. We know that mothers are important, but I don't think that we really know how important mothers are. I really had another message for today. I was going to talk about mothers, but I was going to talk about it in another way. I was going to talk about different mothers in the Bible and all the rest of that. It was probably going to be a nice little cute little message. He touched on the mother's day. Happy Mother's Day. God bless mothers. You know, let y'all out. Go to dinner and all the rest of that. But as I began to look at it, God started to show me something about one of the mothers that I was going to look at. And so it was Hannah. And so she didn't just have an emotional feeling, I want to have children and all the rest of this. There was something there, because the mother is the carrier of deliverance. Look at this. The mother provides nourishment and security for the unborn child. These are things we already know. That the father plants the seed, but it's the mother that has to eat right. Hello. Come on. Don't be silent now. The father can still eat cheeseburgers, still eat greasy foods, still, you know, really don't have to change the lifestyle, right? Mother got to change everything. Go for the prenatal cares and all the rest of that. How's everything going out? All the rest of that. So it's a change. So the mother, it provides nourishment for and security for the unborn child all that 9 months. Look, there are sacrifices that the mother must make for the life of the child. I mean, some sacrifices are, you know, it would only be a child that make you make those sacrifices. Hello. So the mother must make sacrifices for the very life of the child. But the mother It's not just, see, those first three are the things that we already know. But here's the thing that sometimes we don't really understand or we don't think about, that the mother is a participant in the eternal purpose of God. It's more than just bringing a life into the world and nice, cute baby and all the rest of this. But the mother is a participant. Now, here's the thing. Here's how powerful this thing is and what God is doing with mothers from the beginning of the world until now, that every mother, every single mother on the face of the earth is a participant in the eternal purpose of God. I'm not just talking about saved mothers. Every mother is a participant in the unseen eternal. The unseen eternal. Because here's the thing. We can't see what God is actually doing, but by faith, we who are saved and the mothers who are saved, you need to understand that you have a greater responsibility because you know that God has a purpose. And that the mother is a carrier of deliverance. Lord, help us to see and to value mothers. Look, at first, let's go back a little bit. Remember, Elkanah had two wives. That was a source of pain right there. But Hannah was the wife that he really loved. But it's funny that God doesn't seem always to be playing fair with people who he really uses. Come on, let's be honest. Sometimes it seems like God is not fair when it comes to people that he's really using. Now, if Elkanah really loved Hannah, why was it the one that he just tolerated that was popping him out? Hello. Like marbles coming out of a bag. Hello. But imagine, come on, let's put ourselves in that situation. Let's think about that. Let's kind of stand off on the side, an invisible crowd standing around watching this whole scene. Could you imagine the pain that Hannah, the emotional pain that Hannah was feeling? She knows her husband loves her, but now she can't have children. And then her adversary or her counterpart is having all the children. And I can't. At first, Hannah wept because she only knew her pain. And that's the thing. Whenever God is doing something in our lives, sometimes it might be painful. And at first, we only know our own pain. We don't see the purpose behind it. We just see the pain of the moment of what we're going through. If I would really, because I was there, but if I would really, really, really like to jump inside the minds of most mothers, when you are right there in the middle of labor, at that moment, you're not thinking about day college. I wasn't on that side. But it didn't look like Monica was thinking about, oh, what kind of college is Christian going to? At the moment, she's only thinking, get this out of me. Only thinking about the pain of the moment. Hello. You know, we kind of briefly went through that through that Lamar stuff, and they told me to tell her to breathe. They told me to rub her arm and all the rest of it. I almost got my arm broke. She didn't want her arm, so they gave me the wrong manual. Because all she wanted was, get this over with. Don't rub me. Don't tell me what to do. This is your fault I'm in it. Hello. So at the moment, she only felt her pain. So Hannah, in the moment of her going through this thing, she's not pregnant, but the emotional pain, all she really saw and all she could really focus on was her own pain. But look, let's think about this pain. Hannah knew she was in competition. She knew she was in competition. Competition for her husband's affection. And is he going to now start loving her more because she having children that look like him? Hello? She having babies that's going to carry on his name. Matter of fact, because she's having children, you got to understand the culture of the time, that the firstborn male was the inheritor of the father's stuff. So Hannah was already out of it because she ain't even had no children. The other wife has now, even though he loves Hannah, the first wife, because she's had children now, she's already taken the first position. So now, her pain is she knew she was in competition. Next thing is she was being provoked by somebody else. The more the other woman, Penina, had children, the more she was licking her tongue out at the, nah, got another one. What's wrong with you? Hello? Come on, ladies. You know how ladies can be. Hello? So she was being provoked. She already knew that she was in competition and she was not winning. Now what she already is feeling, now the other woman is bringing out into the open. Hello. It's bad enough when you know something, but then you got somebody to point it out so everybody can know it. Next thing is, she only knew her pain. She could not understand why her circumstances were the way that they were. Come on. That's another pain. There is a certain pain that's associated with being a child of God and you're trying to do what God wants you to do, but it seems like you're not getting satisfaction for all the worship you're doing. Oh, it's too quiet right there. Well, y'all just afraid to say something. Hello. There is another type of pain, which is not a pain of the emotions as it is a pain of the spirit. Hello. A pain of the spirit where you might be able to get over emotional stuff, but she's praying. Hello. But God still got to shut up. It doesn't say that while she's praying before that God is even telling her why he shut up. I've talked to you all about this before. Sometimes God don't seem to be fair. Sometimes it seems like it'd be a little bit better if God just told me why. If this ain't gonna happen for another 20 years, or if this ain't never gonna happen, Lord, then just tell me why. So she's going through the pain of not understanding why her circumstances are the way that they are when she's married to a godly man. It's not like she threw on some lipstick, just found anybody, hello, any joke off the street just to get married. If she found a good man that's worshiping, she's worshiping, she's praying. Everything seems to be the way it should be, set up for a blessing, but no blessing seems to be coming. See, she only knew her pain at the moment. She worshiped God, but it seemed to fall on deaf ears. God still ain't said nothing. Then here's the last thing. The spiritual leader. Remember when she went to the temple, she was praying so much. And I don't really have time to really dwell on this, but she was so in agony over what she was going through. It says that she started to tremble. I'm going to have to come back to this because that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother thing right there. I think, and I'm just going to throw this out here. I'm visiting on another occasion. I think the doctors are doing a whole lot of folks a whole lot of disservice by just prescribing medicine to keep down anxiety. Because Hannah has some stuff that God was trying to get out of her spirit that caused her. Hello. Yeah. And medicine wasn't her answer. Right. It was falling in line with purpose that was the answer. Hello. But anyway, so she went to the temple. She went to the temple, and so she's praying so much till she's so burdened on the inside. But she doesn't say anything, but her mouth is moving. And even the spiritual leader did not discern what was really going on. God didn't even give her real answer to the spiritual leader. And he got it wrong. He thought she was drunk. Let me say this. We will not always get it right. It's not always, and some people feel that they are hurting the church, and I've heard stories over and over again. Yeah, there are leaders who are, you know, just do stuff for their own personal benefit and everything else, and they hurt people. But sometimes people are hurting the church, and the leader wasn't trying to hurt nobody. See, there's some strange stuff that God does. Sometimes God will want you to get something that he cannot allow you to get an answer from anybody else, not even the pastor, prophet, apostle, lead servant, all the rest of that. Some stuff you got to just walk through not getting an answer from nobody. You can call up the psychic line. You can call up the prophet line. You can call up the 1-900 horoscope line. You can call up all that and God say, I ain't saying nothing. So she had to deal with the pain of even the spiritual leader not being able to discern what was going on. This mother-to-be was in internal pain and distress. Now watch this. But the call of the mother is so great that she had to keep pressing through with her call and not collapse underneath her external circumstances. Especially now, and I got to bring this to today's day. Especially now, when there's so much going on, mothers, I feel for mothers nowadays. Whether the mothers are married or whether they're single, there's a whole lot of stress going on now. But you cannot allow the external stresses and pressing and everything else to crush you, because there is a work and there is a call of God towards an unseen eternal purpose. At first, she can only see herself. Now, that's the first stage. You can be a worshiper of God, but still let your pain only see you. What you're going through with your kids, what you're going through at home, what you're going through, all that stuff, dealing with motherhood, all of that stuff, being able to provide the right type of food, being able to provide the right type of education, being able to provide the right type of clothes and all the rest of that stuff. Don't let those external stresses cause you to only see yourself and not see the eternal, the unseen eternal purpose of God. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. Walk by sight. He wants us to walk by sight. But God said that we got to walk by faith, trusting in God, trusting that God has a purpose for everything that happens and comes into our lives. I got to move on. God had to first. Now, I got to tell you. God had to take her through what he took her because he had to get her mind first. If you want to know why God sometimes lets stuff happen and he don't say anything, the key to that is he's trying to work on our minds. It took me years and years upon years and years, not years of living, but years of actually being in the ministry to find that out, that when God is working on external stuff, he's really trying to work on our mind. Hello. He's trying to work on our mind. He's not trying to work on our circumstances. He's not. So that makes sense. Why aren't my circumstances changing? Because he's not working on our circumstances. Ooh, we got quiet. But Lord, that's what I need. No, that's what we think we need. God says, no, you don't need me to work on your circumstances. You need me to work on your mind. So then while I'm working on your mind, I'm not going to work on your circumstances because your circumstances are working on your mind. So God has said, while you think you're losing your mind, I'm really working on your mind. You're not really losing your mind because of your problems. You really are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Let me take that back. You are losing your mind so that you will have space for the mind of God. Sometimes that's the problem. We got too much of our mind and not enough of the mind of Christ. So God has got to say, I got to let your circumstances cause you to lose your mind, because with your mind, there's no space for God's mind. So God has got to work on our situations, or let our situations work on our mind. God had to get her mind first, because she's going through. That's what happens when nothing's changing and you're not getting any answers. What do? We sit there and try to figure out, now, why is this happening? Why? Oh, maybe if I do this, or maybe if I don't do that. And so what we're doing, we're using our mind to try to figure out what's going on. Look at this. It's only normal to desire good things for ourselves. It's only normal. That's normal. So to want to have things easy and things work out right, it's only normal. But look, it's not that God would hold certain things from us because they are bad, but because he has a plan. So sometimes when God is holding stuff back, sometimes we'll conclude, well, maybe that ain't for me. Maybe that's something bad. Maybe, or we'll look at it and say, well, hey, I don't see what's wrong with that. God, why are you holding that back? God, that is it wrong for me to want that? And God said, no, that's not even the point. God is saying, I have a plan. And so what I'm doing now, and whether I release it or whether I hold it back, is because I have a bigger plan for your life. And so the call of the mother must always be that she is the carrier of deliverance. Let me say that again. Every mother is the carrier of deliverance. So then, if the highest call of the mother is to be a carrier of deliverance, God cannot allow the mother to think selfishly. Ooh, I'm about to say something. Sometimes even what we do for our children is really selfish. And I'm going to say this is what I think. I think that the burden of being a good mother is heavier than the burden for a father to want to be a good father. Because if anything goes wrong, there's something within the mother that says, have I been a good mother? Whereas if something goes on with us, we may not necessarily think about it that way first. Hello. If something happened to the child, they was out playing. You are nowhere around. I should have been there. I shouldn't have let him out. Hello. Because the burden of the mother is, I need to be there, and if nothing ever happens to my child, then that makes me a good mother. No, it doesn't make you a good. You can be a good mother, stuff is going to happen. Stuff is going to happen. And so the burden for being a good mother sometimes is that we will do certain things for selfish purposes because we want to do everything right. So here's the thing. Everything happens, or the way that it happens, or the things that are withheld, is not because God is saying it's bad or it's good, but it's because God is trying to get us out of our selfish mode. Hello? He has a plan. And so because a mother is supposed to be the carrier of deliverance, God needs to break through the mind of the mother to get out of selfishness, to then use, and to a certain degree, it happens also with men, with the fathers. But sometimes we can slip into the thing of making our children our fulfillment. Hello? And God is saying, children are a heritage of the Lord. Children aren't your heritage. Oh, Jesus. The scripture says, I was trying to run on and let y'all get to dinner. The word says that children are a heritage of the Lord. God says, I give them to you, but they're really mine. You're only there to watch over my purpose until it's mature enough to walk out on its own. But if you think it's yours, you're going to hinder my purpose. So really, our being fathers and mothers can be selfish and fight against the purpose of God. It's difficult. It is difficult. Look, if he executes his plan before our mind changes, then we can destroy God's purpose, because we won't know the purpose of our children. Because sometimes we had desires that circumstances didn't allow us to fulfill. So then we'll try to live our lives through our children. Fathers will do that with their sons. Mothers will do that with their daughters. We will sometimes slip into it and not really even know it. Hello, I'm not talking about it's conscious. I'm talking about sometimes we will, in our fallen condition, even though we love our children and love God, we won't know, because our mind has not been changed in every aspect. We won't know that some of the stuff that we're doing that's good is really for ourselves. I didn't get it. So since my child looked just like me, I want her to have better than I had. But is that God's purpose? So then God has to withhold certain things that he even wants to do until he can get our mind right. Look, Hannah's circumstances were designed to press her into the right mental position. God had to keep silent and make her so anxious, so mentally, emotionally, seemingly beat down, till she came to the right place. God, I want this so bad. Remember, she was going through to the point where everything she did, she was trembling and shaking because of the purpose of God that was inside of her, but she had no way of letting it out. Had a burden that she had no way of letting it out. God's purpose kept on building. I can almost look at it like somebody had a pump on the inside of her, and it's day after day, it's pumping her out, but God didn't open up a way to let out. Hello? Whoo. The pressure. What happens when God causes the pressure to build? To the point, remember I said, there's something about that. God is trying to do something, and now she's to the point where now she's trembling. She's going through stuff. it had to affect her life at home. Hello. But what was God trying to do? God was trying to get her mind to realize that her children weren't her reward, but her children was God's reward. So then no matter how much a mother loves their children, God loves the children more than the mother. Then thank God for that, because God has all the answers where we don't. So then God says, why don't you trust your children to me? Because you don't even have all the insight nor the resources, even if you had the insight. So now, Hannah's circumstance had to bring her into the right mental position. What was that? What was the mental position? God said, okay, now you got it right. You got so burdened down. You got so pressed out. You got so flattened by your circumstances that now you are thinking the way that I'm thinking. She would not keep hold of the child, but give him back to the Lord. This is what I really want, but I really want it. But you know what? Now I understand I can give it up. I want it so badly that I can now give it up. Look, yeah. Mothers are the carriers of the next deliverance. This is where the crux of the message is, right here. I'm almost through. It's not just that mothers are to be the nurturers and the carriers of children, but God says, really deep down, I want you to understand that your position as mothers are that you are to be, and even future mothers, are to be the carriers of the next deliverers. While she's going through, because she just hasn't had a child, she had no idea that her son would be a prophet. She had no idea. She just thought, I just want a child. I just want to bless my husband with a child. I just want to have a child. She had no idea what God had for her. She knew what she wanted for herself, but she had no idea what God wanted for her. Remember Prophet Jeremiah? God said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I've ordained that you would be a prophet. Now, here's the thing. God had something for Hannah that was prepared for her before the foundation of the world. So while she crying about something, God already knew what he wanted for her, and what, and it wasn't nothing that she could have ever figured out. Now, watch this. Look at the next thing. Quickly moving on. Hannah didn't know that Samuel would be there at a turning point in the nation's history. She just thinking about her little old household. Hello. She just thinking about the turmoil that her not having a child is having in her household. God is saying, while you just thinking about your household, I'm thinking about the whole nation. Your expectation of what you want for your life and for your children's life are too low. I know you want them to go to college. I know you want them to get married. I know you want them to have a good time. I know you want them to be servants of the Lord. But really, what you have in mind for your children are way too low. So why did I say that? I didn't say that to make anybody feel small, but I said that to say this: dream for the world for your children, but then realize that God's plan far out exceeds anything that you could ever think or produce for your children. She just wanted to have a child. God wanted a prophet and somebody who would impact the whole nation. Look, third thing. Hannah had no idea that the child that she wanted would be anointing the first king and the second king, which we are still talking about, the first king and the second king of Israel. They had never had a king before. Look at this. That's why that's my favorite scripture. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither is it. If God had a came and told her, your son is going to anoint kings. Kings? Israel ain't never had no king. What in the world are you talking about? Hello? She wouldn't have known what in the world God was talking about, so that's why God had to just keep silent. Sometimes when God is silent and you are pained and you are making more noise and God is saying absolutely nothing, realize that sometimes he's saying nothing because you couldn't understand it anyway. So you already, we already confused because of what we're going through. God said, I don't want to confuse you no more. So I just ain't going to say nothing. God is not silent because he's indifferent. He's silent because he loves us and he don't want to put more on us than we can bear. Because sometimes his blessings are too much for us to bear until we get our mind right. She was being prepared to be a deliverer of a deliverer. Hello. Every time a woman is pregnant, I want you to do this. Every time you look and see a woman is pregnant or she just had a child, you need to then start praying for them because God is saying, I'm trying to bring a deliverer. Amen. Now, they're going to deliver in different ways. They're going to deliver in different ways, but God wants to bring us to the place where we understand that mothers aren't just there to put the food on the table, to put clothes on the back and all the rest of this and put little band-aids on little boo-boos. Hello. But God has a special thing. Now, see, the problem is, as I move to this next point, okay, Hannah had a problem because her husband had two wives, but what about the mother that don't have no husband? Come on, what about the single mother? Yes. See, we got to talk about this now. Because in the Bible days, the Bible speaks about those who are widows and the fatherless. Talks about widows and the fatherless. So really, when you read it on the surface, it almost seems like the majority of women who had children that were single, they either were divorced, which was a rare thing in a sense, if we look at it, but it seems like the majority of them were those who had their husbands to die. But God is a husband to the fatherless, to the widow, and he is a father to the fatherless. Well, I started thinking about that principle. God has a certain grace on every single mother. I know. What are you talking about? My life would be a whole lot easier if I had a husband. But from my perspective, I look at it and say, well, me and my wife are sharing the load and we tired. A lot of times I look at it, I say, I don't know how in the world a single mother make it. And it's a whole bunch of times when I'm like, I couldn't do one more thing. Why? Because God's grace is on that mother for a purpose. It may be rough. It may seem easier if there was somebody to help out. But you must understand, and I'm not saying that a single mother should stay a single mother. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in that position, you must understand that God's grace, his power, his unmerited favor is on that mother to be able to do what she's doing because God's purpose is on the line. Hello. God's purpose is on the line. Look at this. I got to move on. I would stay there a little bit long, but let me move. Look at this. Genesis. I'm going to pull out two examples of this. Single mother. Genesis 21, 15 through 18. This is a story about when Abraham had been told by his wife to have a child by Hagar. Then once she did have a child, then the wife realized she made a mistake. And you know what? Get that woman out my house. But you told me to go in with your husband. You told me. Get out my house, you hussy. But you told me. Now, so Hagar has a son. You know the story. Ishmael. Abraham, because that's his child, he don't want to just put her out. But his wife says, she got to go. She can't eat no more of my food. Her child can't have nothing to do with my child. She got to go. Okay. Abraham sends her out with just a little bag of food out into no man's land. Watch this. Ooh, there's a whole lot there. Lord, there's a whole lot there. Yeah, okay. All right. I'm trying to move on, but I'll hit this. Single mothers, you do yourself a disservice to your purpose and your child's purpose to be stuck on bitterness for a man that puts you out with little bit of nothing. It doesn't mean that they're right, but it means that you holding yourself back emotionally to be tied to something that God says, I'm going to take care of you now. It don't mean that you don't need to seek for child support and all that. I'm not, whatever legal means, whatever you do, whether you're going to do it, whether you, don't worry about it. But don't get your heart caught up on bitterness about somebody that puts you out. It don't mean that you less than because they put you out. It just means that they are fool. Hello. Hello. She was put out. But look, watch this. She's carrying Abraham's child. She's out in the desert. She don't have enough to support herself and her child. Hello. Hello, somebody. That seems to be the number one complaint of most single mothers, especially now that we're in recession. It seems to be the report of everybody now. Oh, hey, we ain't got enough. But especially single mothers. But look at this. Look at where she was. They're out there. She's so burdened down. She says, I cannot bear to see my child die. So she puts Ishmael underneath the shrub. She goes over to another place. Watch this. She begins to cry. But look at what's said. Verse 15. And the water was spent in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. She did that because she loved him, not because she didn't want him. Look, and she went and sat her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. Her love didn't want to see her child in pain. It may have looked like she was abandoning her child, but her love didn't want to see her child in pain because that mother knew she couldn't supply what was necessary for her child. Her love caused her to put the child out. Now watch. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. She cried. We can understand that, right? We can understand how she could now cry because I'm going to die. But she wasn't really thinking about herself. She was thinking really about her child. My child going to die out here. We have nothing. And I am not a good mother because how did I let myself get into this situation where now I have put my child in harm's way? Let's look. Verse 17. Look at what it says. And God heard the voice of the. It says that the mother was crying. Watch this. Remember, the mother's call is that she's a deliverer of the deliverer. She's a bring forth the deliverers. Look, she was crying because of what she couldn't provide for the child. Y'all ready for this one? This one's about to drop. It is good, and God hears the prayers of single mothers. He hears the prayers of all mothers. But I want to talk specifically about single mothers because it applies to all mothers in general. But I want you to hear this. God hears the cries of mothers for God to do something for them and their children. But here's the thing. God isn't really moving because you prayed. That's not, he does move because you pray, but that's not the main motivation of him moving on your behalf. He's moving because he heard the voice of the child. Even if the child don't know it's praying, the child's voice of their own destiny is crying out. I may be in some stuff now, but my destiny on the inside of me is crying out some stuff that my own mouth isn't crying out. And so even sometimes when our children will get off into some crazy stuff and do some stuff that we didn't train them to do, their destiny is crying out to God, so that while that mother is crying out, God is saying, I'm going to move. I hear you, but I hear your child's destiny crying out louder than your tears.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The angel didn't say that God heard your voice, so now I'm going to get you out of this. He says, I heard the voice of your child's destiny. Because I got something for him to do. I got something for her to do. And the angel of God called Hagar out of heaven. That's where you need the voice to come from. While we're looking for everybody to tell us what's going on, what's going on? God says, I'm trying to get you a voice out of heaven, and said unto her, what aileth thee? What do you mean what aileth me? Don't you see what I'm in? Don't you see my, you asking for you to be in heaven? You kind of stupid to be asking me that question. What aileth me? I'm out here in the desert. We gonna die. He said, no, fear not, for the Lord, he says it a second time. For fear not, for the Lord God has heard the voice of the lad. What's that last part? Everybody say it together. Heard the voice of the lad. What's those last three words? Come on, y'all got to say it. Y'all got to say it like y'all prophetically mean this. Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad. You thinking that your child's situation will be better if they were in a different place. You thinking that if self had been different, if you had had this and you had that to try to provide for your child. But God says, I heard the voice of your child where? Whether he's out on the street, whether she's out on the street, whether she's getting bad grades, whether she's grown, whether he's grown and still making mistakes. He said, I hear the voice of your child's destiny right where they are. Whatever their issues, whatever their health issues are, whatever their mental issues are, whatever their circumstances, wherever their surroundings are, whether they got bad friends around them, he says, I hear their destiny crying out right where they are. So the mother's job is to really understand, I am a deliverer for a deliverer. I'm not going to dwell on this too much, but you can jot that down right quick. Here's the second one. This is a deliverer that was born of a harlot. Some kind of way, she only saw that her making a living was by running from place to place. And sometimes that can happen. We'll only see one option and we'll prostitute ourselves over some stuff, and some stuff that's birthed out of what we've done comes back. And sometimes it's not, don't seem like it's going to be the best, but it says that Jephthah was born of a harlot. She was a prostitute, Jephthah's father had a wife. And it says that the rest of the family didn't want him because he wasn't what they wanted to have around. But look at what it says here. Now, Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. Now, I put this in here to say this. And it may not apply to anybody who's here. But just in case somebody hears it on the CD, on the web, whatever, it's going to be for somebody. Sometimes people grow up and they resent their mothers not being there, or some things that their mother did that seemed to put them in a bad light. And sometimes they can't seem to get honor for their mother because of what has happened. But here it says he was a mighty man of valor. God says he was a mighty man of valor and he was the son of a harlot. So God is saying, what I have for you to do and what I have for everybody who's born is not even dependent upon how you got here. The circumstances surrounding your upbringing. Yeah, you may have pulled your own self up now, but you may resent, I didn't have it like everybody else. But yet God is saying, that don't even matter. Your purpose is not hindered by having a bad past, because your destiny always lies in the future. He's a mighty man of valor. That means he's a mighty man of fighting. He's able to fight. Ain't gonna just lay down, even though it seemed like everybody had turned their back. Sometimes we will feel that we are in this thing all by ourselves, but we're never in it all by ourselves. But we should not then turn our back on the one who gave us life, because they may have gave us life and gave us nothing else. That's, thank God, I don't think that's a majority of people, but that's somebody's testimony. That's somebody's testimony that they don't want that to be a testimony. But nevertheless, that's not going to be something that they're going to tell necessarily in Sunday morning service. But yet that's somebody's story. But look, not even a bad beginning can stop God's purpose. Not even a bad beginning can stop God's purpose. This is why it says, children, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the earth, the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Every human being, whether your mother is alive or dead, you have to honor them because God used them to bring you into the earth. And your purpose, as well as your children's purpose, is to be a deliverer in the earth. Not everybody's going to deliver the same way. You may be only a deliverer to one person on your job. But nevertheless, you don't know who that person who you set free on your job, you don't know what they're going to turn out to be before God. You are called to make a difference in the world. God has ordained that your mother gave birth to you when you were born. God ordained your birth. Even if you don't think your mother did the right things, God used her to get you here for your destiny. And I can't end this without bringing up the biggest mother and deliverer. Because all the rest of them, they were temporary deliverers. But it says of Mary, the mother of Jesus, it says, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. And when she heard that salutation from the angel Gabriel, told her that you're going to, even though you're a virgin, you're going to bring forth the Son of God. She was called, Mary was called the Theotokos, when there was a dispute in the church, and there was a heresy considered the doctrine of adoptionism, that Jesus wasn't always God. At some point in his life, he was assumed by the Father as the Savior. So to fight this, the church came together. I think it was in 400 think 481, I think it was. But they came together and they had to then say, we know that Jesus is God and man. So they had to then, they termed Mary the Theotokos, or the God bearer. She was the bearer of God, that God was in her. Jesus, the Son, the God man was in her, and she carried, she had to nurture and carry the deliverer, not just of a nation, but of the entire world. Look, why do we recognize her? Because she was recognized as being the carrier of God, man, Jesus. She was responsible for caring, nurturing, and protecting the Savior. She endured much just to make sure she was positioned correctly for his destiny. She was willing to take ridicule, being talked about, being slandered, being scandalized, and everything, just so she could protect the deliverer of the world. Was willing to run off to Egypt just to avoid her child being killed and then have to relocate. She could have said, hey, it's good for us, you know, women, you know your power. If you say you want to stay in one place, you want to move here, okay, that's okay, dear, that's where we're going to go. She could have said, hey, we here in Egypt, I ain't moving no more. I ain't going back to that crazy place. She could have did that. But no, she understood that her being the carrier and the protector of the deliverer of the world was more than just how she felt. She had to move by God and allow her child to pay the ultimate sacrifice. It says that, I think it was Simeon, and I'm through. He said that this one, when she had brought him to the temple, I think it was Simeon, he says, he is for the rising and the falling of many nations. And he said that even a spear shall pierce through your own heart. Sometimes mothers, and we're through. Mothers, sometimes everything that God will allow your children to go through, to face. Some things are in the plan of God that no matter how much you try to protect them, you will be in the way of the purpose of God. Because God wants to bring deliverers through. And every deliverer that came through had to face something. And part of their being a deliverer is that some stuff they had to go through on their own. Hello. And it's like daggers going through our hearts sometimes. Sometimes it's like it's killing us. And especially, and I can only say that I imagine it probably digs deeper for a mother. Because I had to carry the child. I had to nourish the child. I tried to bring the best food. I tried to bring the best. And so when life does not bring the best for the mother's child, then it hits real hard on the mother. But nevertheless, God loves your child more than you could ever love your child. He has more in store for your child than you could ever think about for your child. And so God is just saying, trust it. Trust your children. Trust your grandchildren. God has called you to be the carrier and the protector of the deliverer. But then realize that the sword may have to pierce your heart, because at some point you're going to have to release them into their destiny. Because their destiny is meant to change the world. Their destiny is meant to deliver people in ways you could never imagine. So all that some mothers, but since this Mother's Day, I'm gonna deal with y'all mothers. The only thing that God tells us to do is not to tell us to make sure they don't get in no trouble, because we can't do that. Our parents wasn't able to do it. Hello. Some stuff they still don't know about. Or we think they don't know about. Keep up. We can't keep eyes. Hello. But God can keep them in the destiny. But I say this. The only thing that God tells us to do, train up a child in the way they should go. Purpose and destiny is supposed to be so I can point them in that direction. That don't mean that we can make them do everything right, because we can't. The mind of God, and say, God, give me just a glimpse of what my child's purpose and destiny is. Point them in that direction. That don't mean that we can make them do everything right, because we can't. The older they get, the more freedom they're going to get. Either we give it to them.